members of the committee, thank you for also moving 219. This would have really been my big day. I also have one over in state affairs, and hopefully that was moved to another day over there. And I don't know, it must have been poor timing on my part to get everything put together in such a jammed up manner. This bill that comes to you today is brought to you in order to clarify a statute that was created by the state to bring local control for transient merchants. It's Senate Bill 199. It is amended to read as follows, and if you have it before you, it's Chapter 9, 34.7. Each municipality may license, tax, and regulate transient merchants, auctioneers, transient, bankrupt, and auction stores and stores of like nature, gift enterprises, and any business or vocation of like nature. And I want you to emphasize that it says may. This is something that is an option for municipalities and counties as well, as I understand it. Any business or vocation of like character, unless carried on by a person retailing merchandise of products of the person's own manufacture or production. However, a municipality may license, tax, and regulate a transient merchant retailing merchandise or products of the person's own manufacture or production at any event where there are 250 or more transient merchants. This section does not apply to the distribution of any commodity from a railroad car by a cooperative association purchased in car lot for the personal use of its members. Again, this bill is to clarify then the statute that was created back in probably it goes back to the late 1800s when some of these things have been in effect that long ago. The bill was brought in response to an activity in western South Dakota that involves a large number of merchants with wares designated to a tourist population. In this case, these were motorcycle enthusiasts. No surprise. This event has grown to gigantic proportions, and the municipality and county governments have had unusual situations with which to deal. The vendor licensing procedure was a good one for this event. I want to repeat that it is enabling legislation, one that can be used, but it is not used in all events. City ordinances are developed and followed, which are extensive in the case that I'm going to tell you about. And this book alone just tells some of the ordinances that the city has developed in order to deal with their situation. A problem of this enabling legislation is that it exempts manufacturing or production of a person or persons. There is no definition of manufacturing in regards to this type of licensing in state law. And I believe we have people here from the Department of Revenue that are going to help explain what some of the problems are. Rather than to set up lengthy statutes to deal with every type of situation that could occur, and I will tell you some of those instances as we go on, we felt we could simplify this by allowing the municipality to make the determination on the validity of manufacturing or production. We also set a high limit of merchants, as you'll notice, licensed in order to protect craft fairs or related events, which smaller events. And we arbitrarily set a figure that would encompass a large event. So I'd like to tell you about what happens in my hometown of Sturgis, which hosts probably the largest tourism event in South Dakota. The city of Sturgis assesses transient merchants a fee during this rally to help defray the costs which would occur while hosting this large event. And the city estimates its annual expenses at about $1 million, and they budget accordingly. This license does generate the most revenue from this event and a lot of controversy, especially because of the deals they have to deal with as far as, you know, what is manufacturing in some cases. Their fee in 2000 was $375 per location. In addition, all vendors are assessed a special sanitation fee, which was $125, and so it was a grand total this past year, $500. Although everyone must pay the sanitation fee, about 10% of the vendors are only paying the sanitation fee, since they cite the case that they are manufacturers or are here only for display purposes and not retail sales, and thus they are exempt for this law. Because there's no real definition for manufacture in state law, according to Sturgis attorneys, it is always up to some discretion. This costs the city a great deal of time and legal fees for their attorneys to determine if they could, indeed, if the vendor is a manufacturer, and that's really, in some cases, just a guesstimate. This also is a fairness issue. Now, here are some examples of some of the things they go through. We have a web lady. And she maintains she manufactures. What she does, she takes a spandex suit and cuts holes in it, you know, and walks around town and sells these spandex suits. And she's a manufacturer. You might have, you squeeze lemons and put them in your drink, and it's remarkable some of the monies that these people take from these events that they put together. Then we have a hot dog product. Before or after the wiener is put on the bun or both that it's manufactured or produced? You know, no, you really think that's funny, but actually, you know, those are some of the excuses they get when they say, you know, we do not need a vendor license. Is a T-shirt manufactured before or after the logo is put on or is imprinted? And chaps or leather or many of these other instances, does everyone sell have to be manufactured or only a part of it? If they take and assemble different pipes all brought together, you know, does this make a manufacturer of them? And if they have the name manufacturer in their name, does this make them one? Or could they be an importer instead or a distributor? For instance, you put chemicals or polish, shoe polish, puts his bottles in he rebottles the chemicals. Also, it really is a nightmare for these people. So I think that our point is that it's very time-consuming for them. They are faced with, I guess, legal questions in each case if they feel they are making the wrong decision, and there is no law in statute that says what then would be a manufacturer. So I'd like to tell you about something about the costs that are involved with this situation in case, you know, you think these fees sound like that's a pretty good deal for the city. Well, here are just a portion of the special sanitation costs that this city is involved with. In Sturgis, they generate 50 tons of garbage on average for 14 days in a row. In New York City, their New York Eve celebration in Grand Central Station generated 32 tons of garbage. So you can see that what they're faced with. Well, this little town that I came from has a population of about 6,000, has a workforce to take care of the needs of a town that has 6,000 people, that police force, fire protection, sanitation, streets. But during this one event, we swell to maybe 600,000, from 2,000 to 600,000 people. And those people are able to expand their forces to take care of that population. I think they do a very good job. I'm very proud of my town for the job that they're doing. I do have the number of vendors that we do have within the city, and those claiming that they are manufacturers, it's about 10% of those, and of course the record keeping, they say, is just rather tremendous for them. So that basically, folks, is the reason for the bill that we've brought forth, is to let them then make that determination, since we don't have anything in law and we can't figure out quite how to put it in law. And I think that when revenue comes before you, they will verify this, that we really don't have statutes to deal with it.
Senator Bitter.
One question.
Yes, sir.
The lady that's cutting holes in his fanzine.
Is she franchised? Okay, go ahead.
Do you have a picture of that?
What was the question?
Do you have a picture of...
I do, but not with me.
Madam Chair, that's not my question.
Oh, okay.
She has to collect sales tax, right?
Yes, yes.
And who...
And tourism tax.
So how does the Department of Revenue regulate her if she doesn't check in and get a license?
A vendor's license.
Right.
But she'd have to have her sales tax. We have temporary sales tax licenses.
She would, in other words, she had to buy your temporary license?
Well, I don't think you buy them, do you? You're just...
Yeah.
Would you like
I thought you were talking about the city.
The vendor license is
right.
The city's license. That's
the 15-day license you're talking
right,
about. Right,
right.
Okay. But she doesn't have to buy that.
Well, no, if she's a manufacturer, she says she's
right.
a manufacturer.
So by honesty, she just reports in on her monthly report.
Right,
yeah, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I just want to congratulate those people on their ingenuity on how to get around this. I guess if you give them a little loophole.
It has saved some money. You know, it's a money raise for the city and, of course, saves taxpayers.
Senator Albers.
Madam Chairman, what the statute and the existing law says manufacture or production, does that make any difference? Would putting a wiener on a bun...
be a production?
Be a production of a hot dog or what?
I'm not sure, and I'm not sure how they would have dealt with that one, but that's just an example of some of the reasons people say that we would not comply with the... would not need a vendor's license.
Further questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senator Olson?
Senator Klavan, I understood in your prior remarks that you said you made the number of vendors or transient merchants very high so you wouldn't impact craft fairs and stuff, but did you look at the Brookings Arts Festival as far as numbers?
It's about at that point, is it?
Is it?
It could be close. I don't know.
I mean, that's a very big...
But again, it's optional, Senator Olson.
Okay, all right.
They do not have to have vendor license. If the city determines that they want to set a statutes for or their ordinances so they can issue vendor license, that's the municipality's determination.
Okay, I guess I'm just wondering if we put this number in here, whether we'll be back in a future year should, you know, the municipality of Brookings want to... do that. That's my only point.
That came direct from revenue, so that perhaps they will be able to explain why that number was set.
Okay, thank you.
Are there further questions of Senator Klavan? Seeing none, are there other proponents for Senate Bill 199? Proponents. Welcome back.
Thank you. And I just wanted to call your attention. You created a time of concern here a little while ago when you asked for opponents. Three-fourths of the audience stood up.
We still passed the bill.
On consent.
Still, yes. Thank you for that. My name is Representative Willard Pummel, and I'm here as a proponent of Senate Bill 199, and Senator Klavan outlined this very well. I think most of you are familiar to some degree with the celebration that she's talking about. And when this law was originally made, I think they deliberately put in the manufacture and production by the individual, so that craft fairs could happen, so that those people wouldn't be paying a tax or anything of that nature. In the circumstance we're talking about, we're past that. And this would level the playing field. We have people in there with, and Senator Klavan mentioned the different products that are offered there that are called home or personal manufacture production. This takes in a tattoo artist, the production part of it, and similar things. So I would just urge that you pass this bill that would, as I say, level the playing field with all the merchants. It's permissive legislation, and certainly appropriate for that celebration and many others. And Senator Olson pointed out Brookings is growing, and this would allow, if necessary, the city to also take care of that and regulate it.
Senator Bitter.
Representative Plummel, as a former mayor, you know, and we just want to clarify this, I understand what we did, you and I did for when we had people with crafts inside of our municipalities. And in a case where a farmer came in with tomatoes or cantaloupes or something, and we allowed that. But I'm trying to remember that we never allowed anybody to come in and sell a product without our permission within our city limits to protect our retailers in there.
You're referring,
including the manufacturer. Am I not seeing something?
I think that you're referring to what we refer to as the old Green River Ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much authority we had to enforce that, to be honest with you.
We did enforce it.
We did enforce it.
Yeah.
But it, we had, I believe, I'd have to go back and look, but I believe in the law books there is something that allows you to control a transit merchant, and I'm not sure what it is. Marguerite has it there. Chapter 9-34-5, Municipal Regulation of Food Sales. Every first or second class municipality shall have the power to regulate the place of sale and selling of meats, poultry, fish, etc. And it also includes bread. There are some, I think if you look through the law books, you can find something that you could lean on, and I know we did that. We did it in Deadwood also.
Yeah, because every time, Jim, may I continue? Just one thing. Because every time we had a van pull up and a guy or a woman opened that thing up to sell, I'd send the sheriff down there. We'd just move him right on. We didn't allow that to happen.
We weren't as tough as Bell Push as you were.
You know? We do things a little different than Hill City. Right over there.
Are there other proponents of Senate Bill 199? Proponents. Good morning.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, Gary Viken with Revenue.
Welcome.
I'm really not a proponent or an opponent. Senator Clevin asked that we have someone here this morning. I think Scott Peterson was instrumental in the language. Really, this bill is very straightforward. I think Senator Clevin's intent is clear here. It's to allow a city like Sturgis to license, tax, and regulate transient merchants, including those who make or manufacture their own products. We typically refer to those people as crafters, only at large events like the Sturgis Rally. Currently, cities can regulate transient merchants except for those who make their own products, and as has been mentioned this morning, the way the law is written right now, there's a loophole. It's our understanding, she mentioned a couple of examples of how people are trying to take advantage of this loophole, specifically at Sturgis. It's our understanding that the city encountered someone who was buying lotion, for instance, and putting it in their own bottles, implication being they're the maker of the lotion, and taking the exemption on that basis, which probably isn't apropos. So really, Senate Bill 199 simply would allow cities to license, tax, and regulate all transient merchants, including crafters, at events where there were 250 or more transient merchants set up. So it's for large events like Sturgis. Senator Olson, I'm not sure on the number of transient vendors at the Brookings event. I know that Sturgis, just to give you an example, on sales tax licenses, we typically, over the last 5 or 6 years, have been licensing 800 to 850 transient vendors for the rally. This past year, I believe that number went up to about 1,100. So Senator Clevin is certainly right, and as we all know that have experienced the rally, it's a huge event. It's getting bigger every year, and there are a lot of people that like to do this. They like to set up a stand somewhere and try to make a little money, and at the same time enjoy the event. So I think this is a worthwhile change if it's something that you folks want to do.
Are there questions, Mr. Viken?
One question.
Senator Vitter.
Does the number have to be that high?
I'm not sure why Scott picked 250. I could certainly do some very quick research and see what the numbers were at Yankton, they have a large event. We're talking the State Fair here. We're talking Brown County. Fair is a fairly large one. There's five or six events that we, as a department, attend. We have agents and auditors there for sales tax compliance. So we have the numbers on how many are typically at these
okay.
events.
Okay.
I'm not sure why Scott put 250 in there.
For Senator Dietrich?
I'd like to, excuse me, sir, but just a little farther. Why have any number in there? Does it make a difference whether one transient person or a 500? What's the difference? The municipality should have the right to regulate whoever comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and this is permissive legislation. It's a may. I guess we were, you know, Scott worked with Senator Cleven on this issue, and she was talking about large events like Sturgis. Off the cuff, I can't think of a reason why, unless Senator Vitter, as a retailer, would there be some reason why we should keep the number large? My thought, I'm thinking out loud here, is that if you limit it to large events, you're not opening the floodgates for every time there's an event in a community that might create competition with the local retail community.
But I think the point is this legislation, can it cover small communities that where, and I have to go again, sorry, I have to use Hill City again, sir. We, you know, a big event to us may not be what the rally is to Sturgis, but it may be a big event to us where we are dealing with maybe 40
sure.
vendors. And I think that's what he's kind of getting to. Can this fit everybody, or does it, or do we have to write another legislation to cover smaller municipalities?
I see no reason to really put that number in there. I think Scott, I'm pretty sure in my conversations with Scott Peterson that he was trying to assist in crafting a bill to deal with large events.
And before I make a motion to do that, I think I'd rather talk to somebody else. We can do that on the floor if that has to be, if it can fit.
Are there further questions of Mr. Senator, what's your name down there? Reedy. You've been so quiet, I forgot.
Thank you. I think that number could be kind of a funny number. I think that a transit tool salesman that comes into any of our towns and sells tools without any type of vendor license is competing with everybody in town, the six dealers that sell tools. If we're going to work on a vendor, I think we should work on all of them. You don't, a guy traveling around with a semi selling tools, does he have a vendor's license?
Mr. Bracken, do you care to answer that?
Well, we're not talking about sales tax licensure here. We're talking about...
Oh, we're talking about vendors.
We're talking about transit vendors, and we're talking about the ability for a city to levy a fee, a city licensing fee. So I, you know, this is somewhat restrictive. I don't know. Probably not answering your question, Senator.
Well, no, I guess I'm just wondering why we don't. That guy's a vendor. Roam in the country.
Did you have a further question, Senator Reedy? Senator Vitter?
I think, Mr. Secretary, I think we would be getting at the point we give you another tool to track them. These people that are untrackable sometimes, that's what he's talking about. If they had a license in from the city, you would have another way to track them for sales tax purposes.
Possibly.
Are there further questions of Mr. Viken? Senator Dietrich?
It's not a question, but it's a statement. By putting in the 250, we are eliminating the protection of those municipalities who are putting something on and they have 249, and they do not have the protection. I think the 250 should be stricken. Give everybody the same benefit.
Okay. Senator Vitter.
Senator Dietrich, I think that you probably get a good point, but I think I'd rather do this on the floor after talking to somebody from Revenue, make sure we don't mess this bill up, and then work from that angle.
I have a sense that one of the issues here is the legislature at some point in time, and I think Representative Pummel kind of referenced it. I think the legislature has tried over the years to protect the small crafters from coming together and having a sale for whatever purpose and be protected from the city coming in and licensing them and levying fees on them and so on. That's probably at the heart of this when we're talking about crafters.
Are there further questions? Seeing none, Senator Olson.
I don't want to belabor this, but the last lines of this bill kind of intrigue me. Can anybody explain what we distribute from a railroad car, what
Thank
the
you.
Commodities are by a cooperative? I mean, just...
Thank you, Senator, because I wanted to, I really wanted to know the answer to that.
Is this government cheese we're talking about? Or
I would guess it is. It says it's a commodity. Senator Dietrich, you want to answer that?
I can answer that because so let's say the local grain elevator will ship in two carloads of certain types of feed or certain types of commodity that farmers use, and rather than unload them and take them to their elevator, they sell them directly out of the dealer car.
Well, there are examples of people who bring in a carload of rock salt, for instance, and just sell it until the car is empty, and I would imagine that drives the Culligan man and others in the soft water business nuts, because they're the ones that think they've got the market on sale of salt.
Well, thank you for going. I was wondering, are there further proponents of Senate Bill 199? Proponents.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Yvonne Beek with the South Dakota Municipal League, and this bill has been excellently explained, of course, by Senator Klavan, and I don't want to belabor it, but we do support it. We would have no objection to removing the cap on the number. And I would point out, too, that the cities, there is no dollar amount set in here. The fee could be $10. I imagine nobody's happier about the craft fair in Brookings than the city commission in Brookings. And so I don't think you'd see pricing to put anybody out, but it might be a nice way to track for the city who is coming in and selling the merchandise. So I think it's most important to Sturgis, and if it risked the bill, I would not want to see it amended, but we would have no objection to the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Vitter.
If we did take the number out, could we possibly buy an amendment put in for local crafters? Could we put some language into the bill?
Madam Chairman?
Go ahead.
I believe that's the language that's probably in there already. I think that the language about the person's own manufacture and production that's currently in there is probably intended for the crafters.
Well, but that's been circumvented to expand other places.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chairman.
Go ahead.
I don't know if that protection was ever necessary. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could tie it to things made with yarn.
Other questions of Ms. Beek? Well put. Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 199? Proponents. Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill? I assume no one had any further questions of the proponents. Moving right along, we'll go to the opponents of Senate Bill 199. Opponents? Seeing none, I will close discussion and ask for final disposition of Senate Bill 199. Senator Olson.
I'll move Senate Bill 199 go to the floor. Do pass.
The motion has been made and seconded to do pass Senate Bill 199. Is there discussion? Hearing none, will the Secretary please call the roll? Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Senator Dietrich?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator Reedy?
Aye.
Senator Vitter?
Aye.
Senator Hamm?
Aye. The motion carried. Yes, we had no amendments. So Senate Bill 199 will go to the floor as a do pass. Moving on to House Bill 1095. Senator Olson.